Hello and welcome to Knit, Design, Edit, Sleep, Repeat with Lisa Conway, Denise Finley, and Tiffany Wooten. Let's listen in and see what's happening, who's happening, and what's new in their world.
Today, Denise and Tiffany explore what makes a good pattern from a maker's point of view. So buckle up and enjoy the ride.
Well, hello, Miss Sparkle Coordinator. How are you today?
Hey, Tiffany. Good to see you. Well, I know our listeners can't.
I'm doing well.
Yeah. I got some things going on, you know, the eye surgeries, the kids, the whole new jobs with them, my husband's new medication. It's always something, right?
It's always something.
Lives should be our theme song.
Yeah. The world as it turns. Yeah. I prefer chaos train. Like, that's the way we live.
It's true.
We just live on the chaos train.
It never stops. It's just,
no.
It's like that train Tom Hanks rode, that Christmas movie. What was that?
Polar Express. Yes.
Polar Express. It's just like that. It just keeps going.
Full speed ahead all day long.
Yep. Okay, what are we talking about?
We were chaotic in our last episode, so I don't know if we should keep on track with that or if we should, you know, get a little chaotic this one.
Well, I'll take my lead from you, sweetie.
I'm sure we're going to get chaotic on this one because we get very opinionated as makers.
I know,
so I
right?
think this one's going to be a little more chaotic than our last.
Well, you better tell them to buckle up. You better tell them to buckle up.
Buckle up, buttercups.
That's right.
All right, so today we are going to... I know that Lisa and Denise have previously talked about what should be in a maker from a tech editor's point of view.
In a pattern.
On a pattern, yes. So what should be in a pattern? See, there are those words that just disappear from my brain. I think they're there and they're not there. And this is why we have to work together because...
Because like what's said, in this maker, you don't want. No.
Look, like you said previously, maybe between the two of us we'll be one person.
One brain
between two bodies, which is entertaining considering we're 1,000 miles apart.
Exactly.
Anyways, so Lisa and Denise have previously talked about a tech editor's point of view on what should be in a pattern every time.
Correct.
So today we're going to switch it and we're going to say what we as makers would prefer to be in a pattern every time. Because let's be real, like there's some patterns that we've both picked up that we've both been like, where is this? Why is this not in here?
Exactly.
Like I it just.
And why so do I have to hunt for this? And
yes.
Why did I pay for this?
Yeah. Yes. And why am I not getting any support from the designer?
Right.
When I reach out for help, because unfortunately that happens too. So
definitely.
Anyways, I think this episode, unfortunately, y'all is going to, well, I'm not going to say unfortunately because Denise and I always have fun when we get chaotic. This is going to be a chaotic episode. So that's your warning. Grab some caffeine and join the train.
And a seatbelt.
Seatbelt would be helpful on this one because we're going to go over what we as makers think should be in a pattern and, you know, like she said, maybe a wish list or some notes for designers because everybody has different expectations and I'm going to stop here just for a second and I'm going to put on my editor hat for just like 2.5 seconds, Denise.
Oh, all right.
I know. I started a thing several months ago before I fell off the face of the planet on my Instagram when my mental health took a dive and Instagram took the back seat. But I started a thing where I was trying to give feedback on writing patterns, not necessarily how to write them, but why you should, you know, include information and why should this be there and why should that be there. And one of the very first things that I put on there, and this is what I'm going to say for every designer out there and anybody who works with me, they will tell you that my two things that I always harp on are consistency.
Correct.
Words are hard. Consistency and expectations.
Yes.
Those are the two things that I harp on the most. And every one of my designers will tell you that is you need
That's
to make
fair.
Sure you're consistent. So that your makers understand what you're doing and that things are the same throughout the pattern because it's easier to follow. Mm-hmm. Number two, you are setting your expectations for your makers.
Right.
So anything that we're going to talk about right here, I will probably loop back through to expectations. So y'all might as well just, I'm setting that right now, because half of this stuff, I think, does set a maker up for, the more clear you are with your expectations, I think the more, the better outcome is for a maker with your pattern.
Because you know what? No one likes squishy expectations. We don't
want squishy expectations. And squishy expectations make it hard on a maker. And
definitely,
if you want to create a following from, you know, following of makers for your designs, where
that's what'll get it.
And every time. And that's every the thing time. Is that's as a designer, that's what you want is you want to, you know, you want people who, when they go, oh my God, Denise just put out a new pattern. I don't even know what it is, but I've got to have it now.
Right.
Guess what? That's what you want. And you have to set that expectation. And to do that, you have clear, you know, clear, consistent patterns with clear expectations for.
It's almost like brand loyalty.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Because you know that this person's going to put out a great pattern. And so one of my designers, really good friend of mine and a designer all at the same time, she was one that let me practice before I actually launched as an editor. And she's taken a break. She's taken a very, very needed break from designing. And I'm proud of her for recognizing that.
Sure.
And she did up a sample for a friend of ours who's just done a new, who's done a line of yarn through this year. Her husband created a movie a month, the Frosted Stitch. You guys have heard me talk about her before. She does a movie. Her husband has done Mr. Stitch's Drive-In, where he takes a movie poster every month and he creates a colorway based off of it.
Oh, that is so cool.
Oh, it's the most amazing thing in the world. It's been so that much fun cool. watching his creativity. And They release it for a month and you can get whatever you want for the month, and they've got sock collections, and this month's yarn is just stunning. But anyways, while we're recording this session, it is August. So the recording or the movie for this month is Ghostbusters.
I'm going to love that.
The colorway is just beautiful. It's this moody, like green, teal, blue, like I'm in love with it.
Oh,
so anyways,
I'm all about the teal blues, you know.
Look, my friend created, she worked up a sample of a cardigan in this yarn.
Oh, no, she didn't. Oh,
she did. And with a button band and everything. Like it's crochet.
Oh, I can do that. I have one here.
Oh yeah. It's amazing. So, she posted a photo and she's gotten several comments on the photo post of, oh my God, if you write this up, let me know, I'll test it for you. And oh my God, I'm going to buy this pattern.
Right?
That's the response you guys want when you post out a pattern, is you want that kind of a response.
Exactly.
So like you said, it's brand loyalty, and expectation and consistency are my two things. So I'm going to take the hat off now. I'm going to get off my soapbox and
now you're a maker.
Now I'm a maker. Yeah. Now I'm just, I mean, there's going to be moments where that hat's going to come back out. Well, actually the soapbox is going to come out.
Well, I might have a few too.
Well, you know, all right. So I know you and I had talked previously about tech editing and testing, and you
correct.
And I would both pay more for a pattern.
Yes.
If it blatantly says, whether it's in the romancing or the posting or whatever, that it has been tech edited and or tested or whatever. And
we prefer both.
We prefer both. Mm-hmm. We definitely prefer both. And I think that still needs to be in every pattern.
Mm-hmm.
I still stand firm on the comment I made the last time that it needs to be on the listing. Needs to be put, you know, if you're not going to put it on the front of the pattern, whatever, that's fine. I think it should be included in the pattern somewhere, whether it's in the romancing or the notes. Or even at the end in the credits, I do believe it needs to be put somewhere, but put it in your listing, put it in your pattern listing, whether it's going to be your private website, whether it's going to be Threadfolio, Etsy, Ravelry, whatever it is, put it up there, because we've talked before, we'll both pay more for both to
very
know that it's
so.
Been worked and it's, you know, as close to error free as humanly possible. So
I think what that means too, is that it was important to the designer to make it as clear as possible for the people who are going to create her patterns.
100%.
And for me, that means all the difference.
100%.
That makes all the difference.
They invested in the the clarity of directions. They invested in the correct sizing. Yes. They've invested in, you know, all the things, because I've watched patterns be rewritten in a test.
Well, they've invested in time. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you've seen patterns rewritten. I've helped rewrite a pattern in test before. Yeah. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And yeah. That's time, people. That's not like, man, I need to get this pattern out next week. You know?
Yeah.
It means the caring part of it means so much for me.
Yeah, the quality. You're making sure you're putting out a quality piece.
It creates that quality. It definitely does.
Yeah, it creates that consistency of quality pieces.
Yep.
Ha ha. See, I told you those are going to be my words today. Yep. So the next thing, and this one is going to be touchy for some people, but I think sizing needs to be upfront.
Like, yes.
And this is another one of those things. I think it needs to be on the listing, and I think it needs to have complete sizing in the pattern and in the listing. So, because you and I have talked, we're both plus size.
Right.
And I know we had that conversation with Trish where she's more petite, but she's a cross size.
Right. Exactly.
Where she has
I'm a cross size. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not as well. Oh, I guess I kind of am a cross size.
I measured myself, which scared me to death, by the way. If you heard a big, you know, explosion over here on the West Coast,
I hate measuring myself.
A refinery. It was me. Okay. Yeah. But somebody made a mention of how much bigger. Oh, your mom. It was your mom.
Oh,
how much bigger her bottom was than her top. And she tried to fit that. And I was like, oh my God, I never even thought of that in terms of why things don't fit me.
Yep.
So I measured myself that day. Like I said, there was a big glow on this coast, I'm pretty sure, that you could see for miles, because I was, what? But then it clicked. It's like, that's why nothing one piece fits me.
I've got about, depending on the inflammation in the day, because fibromyalgia and endometriosis both hate me with inflammation, I've got anywhere between a 12 and a 16 inch difference between my bust and my hips.
So do I.
Yep.
That stunned me. Your mom mentioned 10 inches and I'm thinking, really? And I'm like, then after I measured.
With mom, I can see 10 inches.
I literally tossed my little sheepy tape measure. I'm so mad. It went flying.
Poor little sheepy.
I felt bad. I'm like, I'm so sorry.
But poor little sheepy.
Yeah. So
all he did was do what you asked.
I know. It's a thing. The sizing thing. And that's something I want to talk about at some point too.
Well, and we could talk about it now. Like, I think it needs to be a complete sizing chart added, because so if somebody, I like my tops longer. And
yeah, me too.
While I am book-wise, I'm a pretty standard XL from my underarm to my waist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a pretty standard XL size. Like, most of them hit me right about my waist like they should. I prefer them longer because I don't, you know, if I move, I don't want to flash anybody, you know,
right,
it's a work thing, and I want to be comfortable and covered, and it's just, you know, it's a thing.
Right.
I want to know what the length is, because guess what? If I have to add an extra 4 inches of, you know, yarn, you know, extra 4 inches of body, I need to be able to account for that.
Well, and you might need some extra yarn, right?
Well, and that's the thing too. Right. And that's something a couple of my designers have started doing fairly recently. I say a couple, there's been several. They will actually put in their notes of is it the sizing? It's either in the sizing or the yarn or both. They will put, if you lengthen the body X amount of inch, or, you know, if you lengthen the body at all, it will take this amount of yarn for this amount of body.
Right.
And I was like my mind was blown to take that much care in to put that in for a maker. To put that in for the maker, I was just like stunned. And I was like, I love that you have put this in here. Like, this is probably one of my favorite additions to your pattern now. This is just mind blowing, amazing.
Excellent. So, because I've never seen that.
I haven't either, but that tells you how much you have to increase by.
Oh, that would make just so much sense. I have a project that I have been working on recently that comes from somebody who's a designer who's extremely popular in a lot of circles. And I adore the pattern. But now that I have almost completed it and realized that the yarn that I was using wasn't worsted, it was DK.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I've had to frog all of it out and start over again, which is okay. Like I said, this is a sweater I really want. The yarn is beautiful. I just want to finish it, but I want it to fit. I want to be comfortable. Yes. I don't want to always be pulling on something if I feel it's a little too small, you know, like you said, you just want to be comfortable.
It just needs to fit.
So, here's my question. Because it's a cardigan, I've got the upper part that's smaller, the bottom part's bigger. And it's a button band, so maybe I want to button it sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Some people are just doing it at the top where the yoke is, you know, but putting maybe buttons or a shawl pin up there. So here's my question to you as a tech editor. I don't know if you remember this or not. It was a long time ago. We used to be able to buy patterns that you could use a certain section of pattern A and then another section of pattern B. So maybe it was a fuller skirt.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a different size.
Yeah.
And they told you how to adjust that. Okay. Correct. It was a designer pattern thing that went on in like in the 70s and 80s. It was a really big deal. And I cannot remember. It was foreign. It was a Finnish name or something. Anyway.
I remember there being some sewing ones like that. So, my mom had something.
And it just, to me, it made sense. Okay. And my mom, I grew up in a designer's house. So all of that stuff made sense. I know how to custom fit people. I custom fit all my wedding gowns. So is there any way, question to you as a tech editor, is there any way that a designer in knit or crochet could take a pattern and say, this is just the pattern completed to step whatever to the waist? Okay, because that's usually where people run into trouble, okay? And then maybe you want to insert another one here. Could they give any kind of extra instructions on how to increase to get to that stitch count? Because I'm the one that has to figure it out now.
There's totally could be. And that's what one of my designers brings to mind. She puts several different types of shaping, like from the underarm to the waist.
Yes.
And she does different types of shaping, and she will tell you, if you're going to do this, you need to do this. And if you're going to do this one, you need to do that.
Exactly.
And there totally could be, like, you just need to spot, you know, you as a designer, you would need to figure out where to, what's the word I'm looking for? Transition. I was going to say crop, but transition.
No, I know what you mean.
You would need to figure out a transition point to say, okay, if you're going to change sizes to a different,
this size or this group size, of sizes,
or if you need to size up to, you know, if you're going to size to any of these sizes, begin transitioning here to your increases, do X amount of increases per row. If you're going to size down, transition, you know, to start your decreases here, kind of thing.
And in knitwear, a lot of designers recently have started using just changing the needle sizes.
I've heard that's a thing. And you can do that with crochet too.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
You can do that with crochet
too. So I guess if I were a prolific designer, I would want to look into that. Because I wish I could design. I've never really had the want to do it. And I have to want.
I enjoy doing the editing, but I have zero desire to design myself.
I have ideas. I'm the idea person, but I can't draw. So I can create with a hook and a needle or with some knitting needles and some yarn, but I can't. I just don't have the wherewithal.
I'll freeform it all day long for myself because I know it's not going anywhere.
Right.
But for me to actually design, I don't want to do it. Just like I absolutely, and I'm one of the weird ones, I don't want to design. I don't want to dye. I have no desire to dye.
I love
dyeing. Dye videos all day long.
I love
watching my friends dye. And I love so what fun. Comes out of it.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Spinning. Yes. I have no desire to learn how to spin, but I could watch it all day long. I will watch you spin. I will watch you spin until the cows come home, but I have no desire to learn myself.
Yeah, right.
I'm a weird one.
So here's my question to you now. You've said that that's possible. Would that come into what a designer would do, or would you have to send it to a grader and have them do it? And would they know how to do that?
So keeping in mind, I'm not an official grader. That might be a better Lisa question. But me as a general editor and a maker, I do not see why not. I think it would be more work for a grader. I think a designer who is confident in their numbers can do it as well. I don't think it has to be a grader. I don't think that is a specific grader thing.
Okay, that was why I was asking.
Yeah, no, if you are confident in your numbers or you are confident in being able to do the math to figure it out, you can do it all day long. I don't see why not. It's just a matter of,
well, because I do it all day long. Everything I make, exactly. I change. Everything.
Well, and that's what a couple of my friends, they we've gotten into this conversation about having sizings listed on the listings, on your pattern listings, because we want to know, number one, is this even worth spending the money on? Because is this going to fit?
Right.
Because unfortunately, there's still a lot of makers who, or a lot of designers who do not have size inclusive patterns.
It's true.
And yes. I'm in that XL, 2XL, you know, maybe a 3XL, depending on how somebody sizes it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know, am I going to have to do math? Is this worth the math?
Yep.
Or do I even want to waste my time? You know?
And so now what's happened to me is now I have to do the math.
Yep.
I wanted to throw things. I got over it. But I was just so angry about the whole yarn problem. But then the fact that this specific pattern says there's not going to be that much difference for yardage between worsted and DK, and I kind of understand that. But then there's no difference in cast on, and
that's
no difference
a problem.
In stitches. Yeah. So now I'm like,
is it top down or is it bottom up?
It's top down.
So if it's top down, I can see there not being a difference in cast on because neck sizes only change so much.
Right. And it's like, usually 2-5 inches most, I think.
Yeah. And so that part I kind of get. But at the same time, like, there's going to be some change. Like, there's going to be quite a bit of change between the yarns. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that was.
But yeah, I think as long as you're confident in your numbers, you can do it. And I think the sizing.
I just wondered if you could do those mods, though, for
I don't
for
see why
patterns.
Not. You know, and like I said, you market, I would say that if a designer is going to do that for the maker, which as split size makers, you know, we would love, I'm not going to lie, because I'm a lazy maker. I'm a lazy maker. I want to really do the math? No, it has got to be a pattern that I love for me to do.
I don't do math. I mean, I can do money, but I don't do math.
Yeah. So for you to do the math for the cardigan, you really love this cardigan and you're invested.
Right.
I have a top in there that I gauged it. Do not like how my yarn is gauging. So I'm going to have to do the math for the gauge.
Exactly.
I'm going to have to do the same thing, but I love the pattern. So I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do the math, but I'm a lazy maker. Like if I have to do the math, you got an 85% chance that I'm probably not going to do it.
That I'm going to get discouraged halfway through and put
stop.
It aside and it'll be sit there in a bag for a while.
Exactly. But yeah, I don't see why not. I think a designer would have to, you know, market very clearly that this is a transition area. If you are a cross size, you know, if you are a cross size maker, here is the point you will start crossing sizes.
And can't they just mark that clearly on a schematic?
Sure could.
Also?
Sure
I mean,
could.
That just makes all kinds of sense to me.
Could. You can mark it in the schematic. You can mark it in the pattern. You can mark it in the notes.
Exactly.
You can mark it in the sizing. You know,
and you can even talk about it being a cross-sized pattern.
Correct.
In the listing.
Correct. Yep. A fit for you. Because that's one of the things that I've seen a lot recently is where people are using the spreadsheets to make custom size patterns, which is amazing. And I love that people are able to make clothes that fit them appropriately. Mm-hmm. Like that just, I love that.
I've done that.
You know,
all my life.
And if somebody doesn't want to necessarily make it a spreadsheet, you don't have to. You can just, you know, here's where you are going to split and here's what you're going to do.
Yeah, because spreadsheets make me nervous. I couldn't
super fancy.
Yeah.
You know, you can just make it a few words and this is what you need to do. So,
yep.
Oh, yeah, good. I think sizings, you know, and cross sizings would be helpful. And
so maybe,
you know,
we can just keep talking about it, and mention it here and there to our friends. And eventually it'll be a thing, okay?
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So, okay. So I don't know how you feel about the supply list in patterns. For me, the supply list, the yarn, the notions, all the things.
Yeah.
That's my shopping list.
Definitely.
I take whatever. Yep, I take the bag around the house with me. You know, I throw my yarn in whatever bag I'm going to use for that project. And then I grab my notions bag and I run around and I go, okay, how many stitch markers do I have? And I think that's the one thing people don't think about when they write their patterns. Sorry, I'm getting back up on the box for a minute.
The maker is,
part. is that people put stitch markers. Great. How many?
I love the ones that number how many you need.
Yes,
you're going to need
that's,
10
that's
stitch
what
markers.
I'm saying. That's
love
what I'm
it.
Saying. That's what I'm saying is stitch markers. Okay, do I need my whole case of stitch markers?
Right.
Do I just need two? mm-hmm. for the front and back or for the sides? Do I mm-hmm. need seven because I need a beginning of round and then I've got lace? Like, what am I doing?
And you know what? Beginning around, I've even had a couple of patterns where it says you're going to need two beginning around markers for the edging, you know, of something like you're talking yep. about on your blanket.
Yep. Yep. And I've got one of the makers that I pattern check for, one of the designers, she will put beginning of round, or you need X amount of stitch markers, one for beginning of round, and then X for all of the rest of your markers. And yep. it's better if they're all different. That way you know yep. which marker.
Or different colors. It'll say yep. different color. You need yep. eight this unique. Color and two a different color, you know?
Yep. Or exactly. all unique. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. So and that's I'll tell you what. Love those patterns. Love those patterns.
I do too. Like, it's legitimately, like, that's my shopping list. I take my Notions bag around the house, yep. Yep. you know, or, well, not really around the house. I go from the sofa to the craft room and then back to the sofa. But I mean,
right.
you know, I still want to be able to go around the room, grab everything I need in one foul swoop
yep.
and be done. I don't want to have to think about, you know, nope. okay, do I need to read through this all the way through to know how many stitch markers I need?
Right.
Do I just throw 50 in here and hope it's enough? Like,
right? And here's me. I can't tell you how many times I've been like too shy of whatever I needed. Mm-hmm. Balls of yarn, stitch markers, it didn't matter, you know. So I'm going to put that on a list for the next time I get out to a store yep. or order it online.
Yep. When I'm running my errands, you're right. And, yep. you know, yep. oh, I need to make a pom-pom for this. Well, crap, I don't have a pom-pom maker. And Lord knows I make a mess with pom-poms. So let me just... Let me put that on the list for the errand right. list, you know, mm-hmm. or,
exactly.
or, you know, oh, wait, that's a really good reason to order a pom-pom from some, you know, from one of my favorite makers
yeah.
online
yeah.
or, you know, just, yep. so I see the supply list as a shopping list and
very much
to
so.
Me, the more detailed you can be on that, the better off your maker is.
So much.
Because it does, it makes it so much simpler as a maker to just go grab yes. everything. And
so much.
Like, and you know, you were talking in our last episode about your friend that does the zipper pouches for each.
Yes, Sue.
Yeah, Sue. So Sue's got a zipper pouch for each bag. Guess what? Same idea. Sue can yep. take her bag around the room, yep. grab what yep. she needs, and there it is in the bag.
Yep. And then she's got that little thing with all the extra ones on it in case she loses one because yeah, they're all over the house, you know?
Look.
I did tell you about the one in my shower, right?
Yes, the split ring with the for yes. the stitch markers and the stitch marker in the shower. I was dying with that.
I'm telling you, I don't even know how that happened. But my son will go, Mom, what is wrong with you? And I said, they have legs, they walk.
They really do. And I'm waiting for the cat to find one and start playing with it.
Oh.
As long as the animals don't ingest it, I'm happy.
As long as they don't eat them, you're okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so what's next, girly?
Yarn. So I know we've talked basic yarn in tool time one and tool time two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tool time one, we really covered it. So, mm-hmm. As a maker, I want to know what yarn you used.
Correct. In that pretty picture you've got there.
Correct. I want to know what yarn you used. I want to know what specific color it is
mm-hmm.
and what color is where.
Right.
So color A, color B, color C. Okay, color A is red, color B is blue, yep. color C is yellow. I think I've brought this up in a previous podcast.
Yeah,
I
don't you did. Remember, yeah. But it's where valid.
I ranted about not having the colors marked because super as valid. A maker, I was so angry. Like, I still haven't even gotten into that pattern yet because I just still can't stomach getting into that pattern. I want the sweater, but I can't. I was so mad. I was
you know,
so
after you mentioned that, I started thinking back. I can't tell you how many times I had to go through the pattern to figure out which color was color A and which color.
And that's what I'm going to have yes. to do with this pattern. And I just can't stomach it right now. Like, I open the pattern and I just keep getting so angry, but I want to know, you know, I want to know what color is in each space.
Correct.
If
exactly.
it's color block, I want to know.
Especially if it's color block.
Cause you know, I'm looking at your person, your sample, and I'm envisioning it in my colors, specifically yes. in that order. But you don't right. tell me which one's which. How am I supposed to
And we're
out?
Not all art students. Like, no. my son knows exactly the color wheel and what goes with what, what's no. warm and cool.
Not
and,
even a little bit.
And he just off. So I go to him a lot and I go, okay, I'm going to do this in a blanket. Or is this going to, no, Mom, what do you got that color in there for? You know? So
I'm going to start borrowing your son then because I.
Serious. He's great. I mean, I can't tell you the things that I've asked him about design elements and things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super
I've got,
cool.
Yeah, I'm not. I stick to my little wheel of, you know, what I know works best, yes. and that's about it.
But I'm telling you, if it were listed correctly to start with, then you would know you could go from the lightest to the darkest.
Correct.
Or if there's any tweed in it.
Correct.
Or if there's any speckles or anything like that.
Or put the speckle here and the tweed there. And, correct. You know, yeah, you're right. And it just... Mm-hmm.
I'm with you, girl.
I hit the roof on that one. And all of my group, like my friends, heard about it. And they were just like, okay, deep breath. It's okay. And I was like, no, it's not. They were like, it's fine. It's okay. We're trying to fix it. And I was like, no, we're not. But anyway.
Move faster. Fix it faster.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
So the other thing with yarn is a lot of patterns and a lot of our makers and yarn people are starting to team up and do collabs.
Yes.
Which is great because that's great publicity for both, you know, that ups the sales for both sides. And it's just...
needles and hooks too.
Yep. Needles, hooks, all the, you know, the stoppers, the accessories, all the things.
But mostly yarn. I love that though.
Mm-hmm. If you are doing any kind of a collab as a designer, as a pattern designer, if you are doing any kind of a collaboration, whether it's going to be yarn, whether it's going to be stoppers, whether it's going to be shawl pins, whatever it is, put the link in there.
Yes.
Put the link in there. Put the link in there as clickable and put it in there as a shortened URL. And I'll tell you why is because number one, there are people who print off our patterns. That's what we do.
Yeah.
We print off our patterns.
Yep.
And we can't click a link if it's a printed pattern.
Nope.
But I can look at the shortened URL and I can type it into my web browser.
Yep. Yep. And I told you about my experience with that.
No.
It was, what were we talking about, Tiffany? I swear I just lost it.
Links. Links. Shortened links.
You just keep talking. I'll think of it.
I told y'all this was going to be a chaos ride. Y'all thought I was kidding. That's funny. And I thought I was going to be the one to lose the words this episode.
Just go ahead. Keep talking.
Okay, I'll keep talking.
I'll think of it.
Oh, y'all, we're real. Like, we can't be any more real than we are with losing our words.
What you see is what you hear is what you get.
The 100% squirrel. There it went right out the door.
Right? It was gone.
But yeah, I want the links, you know, and I want it in a shortened form where if I need to type it in, I can, or if I'm on the PDF, I can click it, you know, whatever it's going to be. I still
can't remember.
I want to be able to support the person who you're collabing with, you know? And if for some reason, and this is going to piggyback right into that, if it's a collab.
I remembered!
Let's have it!
There was a crochet hook that I wanted so badly. This girl was crocheting. It was a still picture. Okay. It wasn't a video. And she was just showing this pretty, you know, like her, whatever she was making. It was like an ad. It was an email, basically.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh my God, I have to have that crochet hook. It's just the cutest thing. It looked like ice cream cone with sprinkles on it.
Ooh.
The handle. It was the most adorable thing on the planet. Seriously. And so, but no link anywhere.
Oh no.
Not on the pattern. Not on it. Nowhere. I spent a good 45 minutes on Etsy. But a lot of other cool things, by the way. Jewelry made out of crochet hooks and stuff. Ah! But I swear to you.
But you couldn't find the hook you wanted.
Please use the links.
Yeah.
Please. Yes.
Like if you're showing something off, it's just like IG. When you're putting something up on Facebook, Instagram, Ravelry, whatever it is, and you're tagging another maker in there.
Mm-hmm.
Carry that through to your designs and your patterns. That way we can buy the pretty ice cream hook, you know.
It was so cute. It sprinkles on it. And I love sprinkles. That's my thing.
But that's adorable. It sounds great. And then, you know, or we can buy the pretty yarn or the buttons or whatever it is.
Anything. Yeah.
Anything.
But put a link in. Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Links are helpful.
Very much so.
So piggybacking with the collab yarn, I know that, and this one's going to be a little, some people are going to have some feelings on this one, but. I think to make the pattern accessible, I think consideration needs to be made, even if it is a collab, to put in substitutions.
Yes.
Because not everybody can afford the indie dyed yarn.
Nope.
Not everybody can.
I just went through that. Yep.
People have got kids. People have got car problems. People have got, you name it, they have a problem and they just can't afford it.
Right.
Exactly. And so if their yarn is not listed on like Yarn Sub or something, guess right. what? The yarn dyer's probably going to have a pretty good idea about what will substitute for their yarn. Or, I have reached out to many a dyers and been like, hey, what are acceptable substitutions for your base?
And you know where a lot of the designers are going to find their substitutions is with their testers.
100%. 100%.
Yep.
And that's where a lot of designers will actually create their substitution list. So yeah, a lot of the designers will find their substitution list in testing. So again, another reason to test.
Exactly. That was
and to market on the testing. Y'all can't see it, but we're both emphatically pointing to the ceiling, and it's really funny
because that was my point.
Each other.
Exactly.
So, anyways, all right, you and I have had a conversation about this next topic, and you have some strong feelings, so I can't wait to hear this. Abbreviations.
Oh, don't get me started. I don't need a stroke tonight, okay?
I mean, just give me Randy's phone number before you do so I can call him and be like, okay. I need you to get home now.
No problem. Yes.
Anyway.
So do tell what your side of the whole thing is, and I will just add in when I can.
So my... I love the consistency. I love the standard formats. Not going to lie, I love the standard abbreviations. Mm-hmm. I prefer sticking with them because they are familiar.
Correct.
If you are going to deviate for whatever reason, and I'm not saying that there's, you know, good reasons, bad reasons, whatever. If you're going to deviate, create a new stitch, create something Correct. That has not been, you know, that is not on a standard formatting, I will be behind you 1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. As a maker, I want to know what it is.
Yeah.
I want to know how to do it.
Yep.
I want pictures because I want pictures. Mm-hmm. I want pictures and I want a video because I use both. I will watch the video like 10 times and then I go back and look at the pictures and go, okay, how am I supposed to do this step by step?
Like I have to have both.
Yeah. I'm the both person. So I think I've annoyed a couple designers with that, but
yes.
Being that maker, because I start as a, you know, when I start looking at photo like patterns, I think, okay, what do I want as a maker?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I want to be able to see it, you know, sure. And there's a lot of new stuff coming out, and some of these people are so creative and so talented,
and it makes so much sense. Some of the new stuff they come up with is like, why didn't I think of that kind of thing?
And it's just, it's so amazing.
Yes.
But you've got to be able to make it clear what it is and how to do it.
Because it is new. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Because, you know, if I see a DC, I know that's a double crochet. If I see a K, I know that's a knit stitch.
Right.
But
right.
if you're going to tell me FTRPLMNOP, I have no idea what that is.
Right.
I need you to tell me what this is.
You know, like the one I was just talking about earlier, the CDD, the central double decrease.
Yeah.
You know, I mean... It took me a long time to figure out that they weren't talking about the little things we used to put in our little machines and play the movie, you know, or the music. I like that. Just it's a typo. There's one extra D.
Right.
I swear I didn't know what was going on. But they had it in the notes. They had abbreviations and they had them perfectly lined up. I was very happy with that.
So yeah, that's what I'm an advocate for, the abbreviation section where you say CDD, central double decrease, and then the special section, special stitches section. Central double decrease. Here's your links. If you need photos, go to the last, or if you need photos, here they are. You know, whichever way you want to format your pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm all about, if this is not a standard something or you might be new, here's your glossary.
You know, this might not be the right place to ask this question, but I just wonder how you feel about it as a tech editor and as a maker. Because I'm not quite sure how I feel about this. I've purchased a couple of patterns recently, like over the past year or two. And at the very top of it, it says, designer assumes user's knowledge of knitting to the intermediate level. So when they say CDD, they don't explain it. There's no link. It just says that it's a central double decrease. Well, how do you feel about that?
I have not seen that.
Oh, I've seen it two or three times in the past couple
years. I have not, and it must be because I'm a baby knitter and have not gotten into a lot of knit.
And it was only in knitting. It was not in crochet.
Yeah, it must be because I'm not into a lot of knitting patterns. I'm going to have some mixed feelings about that.
As a designer, it limits my focus. I mean, what if it's an adventurous beginner who wants to learn how to make this new thing?
Yeah.
You know, I just think when you start pigeonholing things and not defining everything, that you limit your makers.
I think I don't want to bash people. I think it's kind of it does limit the information. And I don't know if it's necessarily because they just, that's the way that they're designing or that's what they, you know, whatever. I think as long as it's clearly listed, central double decrease, somebody can go look it up.
Right.
If they adventurous beginner.
Right. That wasn't what the stitch was, but I did have to go look it up. I had to go.
Right. But I mean, at least there's a clear name to it to go look it up.
Yes.
You know, where it's not spelled out. I prefer things spelled out, but that's just me. That's just, you know, how I am. And as a maker, now that's me as an editor, me as a maker, if I'm going to be adventurous, you know, I'm going to go, okay, central double decrease. I don't know what the hell that is. Let me go find Pink Lady and look it up, you know, or whomever I'm going to find it under, because I've already talked about Pink Lady once before. And she's
I use her stuff.
I love her solo stuff. I think it matters, you know, I think as long as it's clearly listed what it is and it is a standard. Now that's where it's going to be the difference.
Right.
Is if it is a standard something that there's going to be 15 videos on YouTube for. Okay, cool.
Right.
If this is a new something, you need to have something.
You need to have
a video. You need to have a reel. You need to have photos.
You know who's doing that right now? Sue. She just invented this thing. Yeah. With this project that her and I started together.
Cool.
Yeah. And she said, I think I'm going to have to make a video for that. I said, you better believe you are, sister. That was kind of my response to her. But yeah, that's
a thing.
I mean, at least she knew to do that, to think about doing that as a new designer. You know,
exactly.
I was excited.
Yay. I love it. So, yeah. And then the other thing I think needs to be clearly stated is U.S. and this is crochet is U.S. versus U.K.
Because crochet probably is the only place it comes in.
Which abbreviations that you're using so then somebody will use the correct one because otherwise you're not going to have the right stitches in the right places and it's going to look really weird.
I remember the first time that ever happened to me. It was just thankfully a scarf. But I did double crochet as just a double crochet.
As a U.S. double crochet?
Yes. And I'm like, what just happened?
My brain would have probably fritzed out if I had seen that. I would have been like, huh?
And it was years ago, like way before the internet was everybody's first go-to thing for solution.
Right.
And it was just so funny. But I figured it out.
My brain probably would have.
I had no idea that they used it differently until then.
Yeah, I found it a different way. Like I think I became more familiar with it as an editor. I don't think I've ever actually made anything as a maker. So
here's another question for you about abbreviations.
Okay.
And crochet.
Okay.
Are there any standards? I noticed that down here underneath notes, you talk about turning chains.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any notes that have any consistency to them at all where all the crochet designers could say to do it a certain way?
As far as turning
chains, yeah. Like, this is going to count as a stitch or it isn't going to count as a stitch? Because it's a grab bag.
Yeah.
Pretty much what I mean.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that it needs to be stated in the pattern. It's dependent upon how the designer makes it.
Okay.
And that's it really is a grab bag. And it, you know, it can look really great or it can look really wonky. And you're like, why
or it goes this way,
match?
You know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you got a zigzag going on. You know?
I've had that piece happen, and I'm just like, huh?
Yeah. What am I doing wrong? Yeah. You go back and you read the pattern 500 times more, and finally
you can't figure out why you messed it up, and then you're like, oh, that counts as a stitch.
I get it.
Got it.
Or it doesn't count as a stitch. Yeah.
Yeah, either way. Like, it just...
Tons of fun. I just wanted to get your input on that.
Oh, no. I think it needs to be clearly listed in every pattern for crochet, for sure, because...
Because as a maker, it was like, woohoo!
Yeah, as a maker, you have no idea, and you're going to go one way or the other what you're familiar with, whether you're more familiar with it being a stitch or not a stitch. Yep. You're going to go with what you're used to, and that could, number one, that's going to mess up how the pattern looks. Number two, that's going to eat your yarn.
Oh, very
Because an extra stitch every row.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you got something you didn't plan to have.
Exactly. And you'll have extra at the end. I mean, it just kind of depends, so... Mm. Yeah. Anyways,
notes.
See, there went the train. Notes. Right out the window.
Number five, sweetie. That's where we're at.
Oh, okay. Yo, we have an outline. We have to have an outline so that we kind of keep on track and we don't just, you know, talk
Lisa's
about.
Lisa's going to go, what were these dudes drinking?
I mean.
And we're not.
At least we're entertaining.
Exactly. This is
I hope.
Yeah.
I hope so too. Hopefully none of y'all are running off in fear because we're crazy people. But anyways.
So notes should include what?
Notes should include all sorts of things. And this is going to be trouble spots. And this is one of those things where you've had it tested. Your testers will be like, hey, I had issues with this. I get it now, but you need to clarify this. And that's going to be, you know, whether it's going to be where you put the hook for this join.
Whether
you know how to do this stitch, you know, and that can kind of go into a special stitches section, but you need to notate it somewhere. Because a lot of with them working through, you did the sample, it's come out of your head, you understand where you're supposed to do it, but sometimes putting in those little extra details, you know, or you know, and even as an editor, if I understand you or I understand how the stitch is constructed, it's not going to dawn on me, but if you've got a less, what's the word I'm looking for? Less, tenured is the wrong word.
Experienced.
I got it. Less experienced maker in your group, they will help you figure out those holes.
Right. So let me ask you this question then. I mean, across the board, I'm a new maker. Maybe I've only been doing this about a year and I'm venturing off into some different areas. Will I always be able to find those kind of special directions in the notes?
No, it depends. I advocate that they all need to go in the notes. Anything that is not standard, anything that does not meet the standard, you know, that everybody knows that, you know, is taught 15,000 ways on YouTube.
Right.
You know,
right.
Yeah. I think it needs to go in the notes. And I'm one that I prefer more notes to less notes as an editor and as a maker.
Well, as a maker, I do too. Yeah, but I know
there's makers out there that don't read the notes, and that's on them. But I definitely prefer.
Because when I run into a problem, so I'm following this pattern, right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it says do blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what blah, blah are they talking about? So I instantly go to the notes.
Yep, I go to the notes and I go to the special stitches section.
And I'll be darned if it wasn't there today. I was very happy.
Yeah.
It just happened to me today. Just today.
Yeah. I had the same. Yeah. I'm like, why isn't this, you know, I had it as a maker not too long ago. I was like, what am I? Huh? I don't understand. Like, I'm winging this. Okay, cool. Awesome. Let's see how this turns out. And
we kind of
go for it and it doesn't work out the way that it should. Correct. And you get
that's
encouraging.
That's actually encouraging, listeners, because if you're struggling with something in your pattern and maybe you've just skipped over that first part that just has all the stuff in it that you didn't want to, you went to straight to cast on or chain up, then go back into that part and there might be some extra additional lovely pieces of information that you missed. I know I did.
Yeah.
Because I'm one of those people.
Yeah, I can be one of those people. I admit it, but I also like to see, like, as I'm going through, I'm like, okay, there's a big note section. So if I run into a problem, that's where I'm going. And,
yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, just wanted to ask.
Yeah, and going, you know, and having, so where the problem spots are, if you need to do something special in some spot where, you know, you're not going to, like in Tunisian, you're not going to return pass because there's two passes in Tunisian. So like you're not going to finish the final return pass on these five stitches because you're going to pick them up later and use them over here.
Right. You know, you need to make sure. And for something like that, I would actually put it in the notes section, and then I would put it down where that row is. Mm-hmm. Reminder, do not complete the final five stitches, you know, return past right. the final five stitches.
Exactly. That's helpful. That's very helpful.
It is, because it shows you exactly where in the pattern that is. And if you're not going to put it up in the top section, fine, but at least put it down in the bottom where the pattern is.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just looking at the bottom of this, our notes here, other topics if we want to talk about them. So of all of this list, tell me what do you think is the most, not important, but as a maker, what speaks to you more? What means to you more out of this list?
On the whole thing?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something for me. I'm an author.
Uh-huh.
And I name my books a specific thing for a specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read my books, you figure them out.
Right.
Okay? And a lot of authors do that. It's a very common thing to do. But I think the same thing about patterns.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who do it name them for specific reasons.
Here's the thing. If you name your pattern Evening at Mount Hood, because I live right at the base of this crazy mountain volcano, I want to know, why did you name it that?
Yeah.
There has to be a story.
The story that goes with it is just beautiful.
I would love to. Those two things, mm-hmm. as an author, is for some crazy, silly reason, are important to me. You know?
That's, I mean, the story behind it and the inspiration for the piece,
mm-hmm.
you know, is half the thing right there. And I love seeing the stories. I love reading the stories.
I bet you see so
many. I'm not good at writing them. Not good at writing them, but I love reading them. You know, and I'm a reader too. So I enjoy the stories. I love the backstories and the why and everything.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I love a backstory. I love a good backstory.
The backstories are great.
Mm-hmm.
But I love knowing, out of everything we've talked about to this point,
mm-hmm.
probably the notes section.
Oh yeah.
Because to me, like, as a maker, if I'm screwing something up, that's going to be the first spot I'm going to go to.
And that's your saving grace, I think. Yeah.
It really is.
It was for me today. Duh.
Yeah.
I was like, it was just a simple sentence, but I'd missed it because I had gone through those notes.
Yeah.
They weren't very lengthy, and I thought, oh, I'll just look and see if I ever need that. You know, well, boom, I did.
Yeah. And you turn around and go back to it. And, hey, there it is. And
I read it and I went, oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I think the notes section is probably, to me, behind, like, you know, special stitches, which we kind of went into, and they can kind of go together, you know, mm-hmm. is I think the notes section is probably the most important, with special stitches and abbreviations behind it.
Okay.
Because because that's the core to making the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
If the maker doesn't know what the stitches are or what's important, or a trouble spot,
that's super important, especially if it's a trouble spot. So here's a silly question. I know that on Ravelry, I've had many of my projects pulled for pattern pages. You know, mm-hmm. it's the first three or four of them, you know, on the side.
Yeah.
But I've also had, sometimes it's just the designer, and that's okay. Or her husband or her son or whoever, you know, child modeling it or whatever. But you know what it would always interest me?
What?
As somebody who wants to know the behind the scenes, the backstory, I would love to know about the other people who've made this.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the testers.
Well, even especially the testers. But who was compelled to want this pattern? Is it somebody that just needs a heavy winter sweater because they live in the Arctic Circle? Or is it somebody that wants this color of sweater because it reminds her of her boyfriend's eyes?
Yeah.
You know, I just really think that those things are. And that might be just too much words to put on.
As far as giving credit for definitely the testers and maybe the other stuff, I think that's definitely something that would be up to the designer. I have seen designers put in, you know, this tester's names. From here. This is why they, you know, chose this pattern, blah, 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 mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. So,
but just little blurbs, like a one sentence blurb.
Yep.
Let's use Keenan. Keenan Goldsmith tried this pattern and absolutely loved the way it draped when mm-hmm. he finished it in this kind of yarn.
Yep.
just a like a little endorsement like I get on my books. Yep. You know?
Yep. And I love, and that's one of the things that I love about testing too, is being able to see the different yarn choices, the different colors, and yeah. The way that it fits different people.
Definitely.
Because as a bigger maker, a cross size maker, I love being able to see how it fits other people.
Yep.
Because, yep. you know, it just.
Because it really changed my mind when I started buying larger sized clothing last year after my back injury and the weight gain and all that. I was stunned that some of the online catalogs are still using skinny people to 100%. Advertise plus size clothing. And 100%. You know, they are not wearing a 4X because 100%. They're a size 4. So yep. How is that going to look on me?
Yep.
You know, that's just to me, that's false advertising as far as yeah. I'm concerned. And I shop with those people.
And I love when I love when a designer includes those photos.
Me too.
You know, plus size, smaller sizes, whatever. Like they show the whole array. I love mm-hmm. when the designer throws that into the pattern and onto the listing. Like it just
I'm going to say something.
It helps make my decision that much better.
My friend and I, Sue, my cohort in crime in Indiana, we have created a Facebook, not a group, but a page. About we wish we were going to Rhinebeck maker, an MAL. Like you can crochet make something, along, yep. you can knit something. Yeah. And so one of the things that she showed me the night when we were creating this group was this pattern. And I instantly fell in love with it because I have really short hair now. Mm-hmm. I used to have hair to almost my ankles. Good and so Lord. Anything on the back of a sweater or a dress what did I care? My hair was going to cover it up, right?
Right.
Well, now that I have really short hair, I'm very intrigued by patterns on the back of anything. I think they're wonderful. So, like, especially some of the Native American Indian things, the Navajo things, and I just love stuff like that. So she showed me this pattern.
And all the colors and everything, yeah.
Yes. Well, she showed me this pattern, and it had this great design on the back of the sweater. Okay.
Okay.
It's called Mallow.
Okay.
And there is no particular designer. It's by Barocco. It's by their design team.
Okay.
Okay. But the person on the front of their pattern is a plus size person. The one on the inside of it is the skinny girl.
That's amazing.
I was thumbs up all the way to Barocco. Let me tell you.
That's amazing.
Because I knew then what my backside would look like in that sweater. That's a thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's a thing. Like, we want to know.
Yay! I was so excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that was just perfect. So.
Yes, we want to know. That's an amazing thing.
Pet tip to those people there. I was very impressed.
And one thing, just to real quick loop back to abbreviations, because it just hit me while I'm looking at the outline. And then we can wrap up because we're right about an hour.
Okay.
This is something that I've seen on more knitting patterns than crochet, but I really like it, is where it lists the abbreviations and stitches, on the posting. On the listing. So this pattern will include chain, double crochet, you know, blah, 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 blah. That way, if you are an adventurous person,
yes,
you know what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. And you can be like, I know that, I know that, I know that. I don't know that, but I can look it up. I'm iffy on that, you know. And I really like that because I've seen that on some knitting patterns. And that actually got me into, I think that's the one that I... Did she have it on that one? I don't know. I've looked at so many patterns recently, but
told me both.
But yeah, it went. And somebody had it on a knitting pattern. I just thought that was the greatest thing for somebody because we don't all identify on the standard because there's no standard intermediate beginner.
Right.
You know, that's a confidence thing. Like that's an ability to learn, and that's a confidence thing.
So subjective.
It really is. It really is subjective. Mm-hmm. And I really like having the abbreviations listed out like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, beginner, intermediate, all of that really is subjective. Mm-hmm.
And so, I have seen patterns like that. I have.
Mm-hmm. I do like that. So, if that's listed, I think that's a super helpful thing. Mm-hmm. If it's not, great, but I think it could be more helpful to those who are learning, or even those who just, you know, I just want a simple pattern. I don't want anything complex.
I just want to knit and crochet and or knit and purl and be done with the darn thing.
And make it a meditative.
I
want to
watch
something.
TV.
I just want a meditative make. And I think, you know, I think that's super useful for that. So
I have an idea.
Oh boy, let's have it.
Well, you brought it up.
You
were talking about how you didn't like the heels and blah, 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 and all that. Tell you what, the heel that I've used, I literally have never used another heel since I learned how to make this heel. Okay. Never. Well, unless there's a decoration on it, then I want it to be all fancy, but that doesn't happen very often. So I think we should do a talk, and this is going to be a technique talk.
Ooh, I like it.
Because so many people have said to me, how on earth do you do two socks at a time, toe up and top down?
Mm-hmm.
But I have done six pairs of socks at a time.
Are you kidding me?
I am not. I did it just as a dare way back years ago when I first learned how to do it.
Holy crap.
Yep, I did. I was just whipped them puppies up. I got the really, really longest cable you can get.
Yeah.
Interchangeable set. Yep. And the ones you can add to, you know?
Yeah.
Yep, I did that. And I made a different pair of socks in each one.
Oh my
gosh. I was following six patterns. I'm telling you, I had so much fun with that. And people are like, you are crazy. Well, I am. But this was fun for me.
I would have loved to have seen that. Like, I'm not going to lie.
And let me tell you, another girl then took and ran with it. What she did was she did some top up and some top down. Toe up and top down.
Ooh.
In the same band. I was like, oh, come on now. I thought I did something special.
Oh,
but
wow.
Believe it or not, that wasn't the most. One woman did 12 pair at the same time. Now, I'm sure it took her a long time because sometimes I get really irritated when I'm doing two socks at a time and I'm thinking, this is taking freaking too long, you know? And I'm like, oh, geez, you're going to have a pair of socks when you're done, you know? So I have to remember that. I have to keep that in mind. But I think there are a lot of different techniques, ways of making the same thing.
Yes.
Whether it's crochet or knit.
Yes.
And I think that might be something we might want to chat about here in
a
little while.
I think we can definitely put that on our itinerary.
No, I think the talks are fun.
I like it. A technique talk. Mm-hmm. I like it. We'll have to do some research for that one.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. So if you guys have some techniques you want us to talk about.
Yeah,
or
throw them
ideas,
at us.
Hit us up. The email, the Facebook group, our IG, whatever.
Yep. Either one of us, our IGs. Yep.
Yeah,
very
or
good.
The,
I look
Kadeser
forward to
the group
it.
Or whatever it is, because
you
know, it can definitely be a thing, and
we can
use the help to come up with ideas for sure. But Katie runs the Facebook group, and she reaches out and lets us know, you know, if anything
very much
so. Talked about. So,
and I think that we could continue the talks, and they have to start with T.
Sure.
We'll just have to mess with it. Of course, I'm sure some of them will have to be a foreign language or whatever, but you know, we can
figure it out. We always do.
Exactly.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this version of the chaos train is coming to a close.
Yes, sir.
We didn't end quite as chaotically as we started. So there's that.
Except for that one little eruption.
Yeah. You may return your tray tables to your upright positions, undo your seatbelt, and feel free to move about the cabin as you please.
Yes, get
you
your drinks.
Anything else, Sparkle Coordinator?
I do not. How about you, Miss Tiffany?
I think it's time for dinner.
I think it's time to chill.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
all right,
we'll see you next
time.
Okay, hon. Bye-bye.
Come back next time when Denise and Tiffany talk with Asia Martinez, a Tunisian crochet designer from Florida. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you listen, and join the conversation in our Ravelry or Facebook groups. For show notes or knit tech editing and related services, please visit my website at arcticedits.com. To inquire about crochet tech editing and other services Tiffany provides, please go to wootcrafts.com.